I thought at that stage, after thinking about missionary work, I would end up sometime in Brazil and there serve the Lord. That didn't happen. God closed the door to Brazil and opened the door to Portugal. In 1981, we went to Portugal and spent some 20 years of our lives in that country. And then we came home to help our kids in further education in Northern Ireland and began working for the mission at home in the administration area and down there in Belfast and doing deputation meetings. And to be honest, I felt a bit like a fish out of water. I didn't really like it. I liked being out there doing something for the Lord. And then one day, about 2.5 years ago, I was walking through Portadown Main Street, and I saw these two guys in a charity shop, and I followed them in, and I heard them speaking Portuguese. I thought, Portuguese in Portadown, my own town. And then things began to happen, and that's where we are today, working in Portadown and the surrounding area among the Portuguese-speaking people. If someone had said to me way back when I was 15, 16, that one day I would be in the mission fields, one day I would be back in Portadown speaking Portuguese, I would have said, you're crazy. Impossible. That would never work out. Even 5 years ago, someone said, you'd be back as a missionary in Northern Ireland working among migrants in your own hometown. I'd have thought that impossible. And most people have thought it impossible too. But then God's will is a strange thing. God puts our lives together like a jigsaw puzzle and builds one piece against another, and only after a period of time do we see how things shape up. And that verse in Psalm 16 is a wonderful verse of Scripture. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And that's our confidence as we face God's will, that he will show us the path of life. And he will direct us. He is no man's debtor. He will always guide it right. And he will build and place the building blocks of life in the right place. And all the experience that we go through in life, God uses them in a wonderful way to perform his work in his own unusual way and circumstances. And looking back over our life tonight, I can see how God has been so good to us and given to us so much pleasure and so much joy in serving him in sometimes unique situations, unusual situations, but we feel this is where God wants us to be. And all through our life we find that. Each step, that's where God wanted us to be. And that was a building stone or a stepping stone to the next experience of life. And looking into the future, I have no idea what tomorrow holds. No idea where I'll be in a year or 2 years' time. Whether I'll still be in Portadown, back in Portugal, I have no idea. But this verse stands true. He will show me the path of life. And that's true for me and true for you. And tonight, I want first of all to speak about what we're doing today in Northern Ireland and want that to be a challenge to your life and to how you look out upon the migrant community that now live in our province and how we face this changing world of ours. And then we come back to God's Word and share a few thoughts with you. Now. Acts 8 and the verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. May God bless his word to our hearts. This is one of the most inspiring, instructive encounters we find in God's word, and how God impacts lives and uses people who are willing to be used to share the gospel with those who are searching for answers for life's dilemmas and for the issues of eternity. It was no chance encounter that Philip was directed by God and found this man, an Ethiopian, out in the desert in the middle of nowhere. It was God who programmed the entire event. And the amazing thing about this story is it's not an old story, it's a story that's relived over and over again. In many ways, it's the story of our own lives. As believers, we can look back and think how God brought someone to us. That person shared the gospel with us. As a result, our search came to an end and we found Christ Jesus. And we read this story and find how wonderful God is in bringing someone to us to open up his plan, his will for our lives. In this divine encounter, we find a number of things that we can underline. The first thing I find is how staggering God's guidance is, both in the life of Philip the evangelist and in the life of this Ethiopian. God, in his own wonderful, providential way, brought both of them together in a very unusual place. Only God could do that. Think of Philip. Where was he? He was up there in the north in a place called Samaria. Actually, he had fled there, because in Jerusalem there had been a bit of persecution. The church was scattered, and Philip headed northwards and then found a new ministry. People were converted and things advanced, and things were happening. He found God's blessing. And then God came to him and said, listen, arise, leave all this, and go southwards. Now that was quite a challenge to Philip, because what he was doing was putting his life in the place of risk and danger. He had fled from Jerusalem northwards towards Samaria. That's, 30, 40 miles. Now, God was saying, go southwards, and to get south, you had to go through Jerusalem or around Jerusalem, going through the place he had fled from. That was both inconvenient and highly dangerous. Yet the amazing thing is that this man said, yes, Lord, I'll go. There are no questions, no protests. He put himself in the right direction, unknowing of what the future held. He hadn't a clue where God would lead him. He just went southwards. So it's like God coming to us and said, go south to Southern Ireland. You say, well, Lord, where? To Dublin, to Galway. God didn't give precise details. He just put his servant in the right direction. I believe that's what God wants to do with us. He's not going to tell us our future. He didn't tell me my future. Way back all those years ago when I said yes to his will. I never dreamt that I would go to Portugal. I thought I was going to Brazil. Never thought I'd be back in Portadown. But God's mysterious will is a wonderful thing, surprising thing, and a very encouraging thing. God just wants us to get to that place where we say, Lord, here I am. This is my will. This is your will for my life. I'll take it. I'll go in here and leave the consequences and the outcome with you. Philip did that. He could argue with God and says, dangerous, Lord. I can't do that. When I was 15 years of age, I said, I'll not be a missionary. I can't speak in public. I can't face an audience. I can't do this. And I can't learn a foreign language. And for years, I battled against that. Lord, I can't. And then I came to the stage where I said, Lord, I can't, but I trust you. And it's been amazing how God has opened up doors and pathways and avenues of service that I felt were impossible. Each one of us, God wants to use. He wants to get to the position where we can say, yes, Lord, I'll take your direction. Put me in the right direction. I'll leave the rest with you. God stepped into Philip's life. He also stepped into his life at the right time when he needed specific guidance. When God said to him, go southwards, he went southwards. Then he came to this man in a chariot, and God said, that's the man, go after him. And how many times God does that? He puts us in the right direction, in the pathway of someone, and this amazing opportunity opens to us. I remember, last November, Normally, my wife would go along on Saturday night, and she would train to sing on Sunday. And because I can't sing, I go out in the streets and walk around town and try and invite some people in. I remember going to this house on four occasions, four Saturday evenings. I felt, I'm not going back again. This is hard. These four guys don't want anything to do with me or anything to do with the church. Good to be friends, but I'm not going to go back there again. This night, it was wet, it was windy, and I felt, maybe go back once. I said, no, I'm not going back there. I go back to the house and get a cup of coffee, listen to the folks singing. But walking away, I felt constrained to return. I went back to that house that night. There were only two lads there, but two other boys had just arrived from Galway. They were Brazilians. One sat in the kitchen, the other boy stayed in the living room. One of the other lads I knew, he walked out, and I walked in, and I thought, well, what am I doing here? After about 10 minutes in conversation, I got up and said, listen, I'm away here. And the guy in the kitchen said, hold on, come in here. He closed the door and he had a can of beer in his hand, a bit tipsy he was. And he put his hand into a magazine rack and pulled out a Bible. And he said, this is my mother's Bible. When I left Brazil, she gave me this Bible and said she would pray for me. Over this past year, she has prayed for me, and each time I speak to her, she always says, son, you're in the wrong place. And yesterday I arrived in Portadown, and I phoned my mom and said, mom, I'm in Portadown. And my mom said, son, you're in the right place, and God's going to send someone to your door tomorrow to talk about salvation. And there I was, not even waiting to go to the door, and God opened the door. And answers to a prayer offered by a mom way back in Brazil. Isn't that amazing? That's happened over and over again. We find people who've come from Christian families, come to Northern Ireland, looking for a good time, looking to get out into the world, but they find something they never expected. God answers their mother's prayers in strange, strange ways. Yes, God's guidance gives us good direction in life, but also very specific. At the very right time, he comes along. That's the man. That's the reason why you're here tonight. Maybe that's the reason why you're here tonight. God's guided you to this point in time, to this place, this very moment. So you can give thought to where your life is going and what you're doing with your life. God's guidance is a staggering thing, but also we find God's grace is a surprising thing. Philip would never have dreamt up there in Samaria that there would be a man from Ethiopia reading God's words under the hot desert sun out there in the middle of nowhere. That probably is why God didn't tell him, there'll be a man waiting for you down there. He said, go southwards. When you get there, you'll understand why. He got there, he understood why. God's grace is a wonderful thing, a surprising thing. We don't know who God is working with. We often sang that chorus, all over the world, the Spirit is moving. And how true it is. We don't know where. We don't know in whom, but God is moving, God is speaking, God is challenging lives. And here we have this man coming back home from Jerusalem. Remember, he had gone there to worship God, possibly gone to the temple worship. He's coming back with God's word in his hand, so we have a religious man, a very devout man, and he's searching. Something has stirred in his heart. There are thoughts now that he didn't have when he was going to Jerusalem. And we ask ourselves a question, what's happened? What did he see up there in Jerusalem that changed his thought pattern? That provoked questions. When he was there, there was persecution. They think, well, why are these good people being put in prison? Maybe some friends of his had got converted. Maybe he had heard the story. This Christ, he was crucified. Why? Why did the Romans put him to death on the cross? Those questions certainly were there in his mind. And it began to stimulate thought about God. He's going home anxiously. The other question is, where did he find God's word? For us today, it's quite easy to find a Bible, walk around with a Bible. Anyone can have a Bible. But in that time, only the scribes, the Pharisees had Bibles, or they had manuscripts hidden away and protected and guarded in the synagogues. It wasn't a common thing for people to walk out in the streets with God's word, because it was a precious document written out by hand, and they held it dearly in the synagogues. Yet this man's out in the desert with God's word in his hands, with all the dust, that dusty environment, under the hot sun, you know, it's open air, reading God's word. Where did it come from? Did he buy it? Did someone entrust it to him? Was he carrying it for someone else? It doesn't really matter. God's word was being used that day. And that's the important thing. The seed of faith grows out of what we receive from God's book. And as believers, that's the reason we've got to share this message. The power is in the seed, not in us. Here's a man thinking about spiritual things, asking questions. Who is this Jesus? What's this all about? God's grace touched his life. He found that he was in the right pathway, at the right place and time. He found the right person. He found Philip. He actually was reading the very right page of Scripture. He wasn't reading Isaiah chapter 1 or Isaiah 66. He was reading Isaiah 53. And he was stopped there. At Isaiah 53 when Philip came along. Not any sooner, not any later. How wonderfully God works in our lives. What a wonderful God we have who is personally involved and intimately involved with our lives. He knows our thoughts. Tonight, I can't read your mind. God can. Maybe tonight, as you think back of your life and where you're going, you have questions about your future. You have questions about Christ. You look back in your life and you see what God has done and how people have come into your life and impacted your life at certain stages. Maybe a gospel tract, the witness of a believer, some kind deed that someone did. And all those things are registered in your minds. You don't talk about it, but they're there. And you thought maybe recently about God's word, the new way. You have a new interest in your heart for the things of God. Those things come from the Spirit of God, an indication of God's grace working in your life. Where he is calling you, come. Irrespective of where you come from, God's got this wonderful plan to reveal for your life. The plan of salvation. The plan of walking in his will. This is the Ethiopian. He found it. We see God's guidance here. We see God's grace here. We see gladness here. Gladness because this man, his search came to an end that day out there in the Gezer Desert. He had all these questions, but when the gospel was explained to him, how Christ, he died on that cross for our sins, and how through faith in his finished work, man could be redeemed. And Philip opened the scripture, explained who Jesus was, why he went to the cross, and why he died. And this man responded with faith, gave his life to Christ. The Bible says he went home glad. No more anxiety, no more confusion, no more fear. All that's gone. He's found the answer. The answer was Christ Jesus. And the strange thing is, he went on his way alone. Philip, the man that God used, departed and went northwards. This man went home alone. But he went home glad. Why? The Christ he had heard about had become a personal reality in his life, had become part of his life. This Christ is now in his heart. He had God's word to guide him. He could face Ethiopia and all his job and all the responsibilities in a different way. Things had changed inside. He was glad. Philip was glad. Philip was glad because he said yes to God and said, "Listen, I go to Gaza. I'll go and approach that man across the road there, a different color. That man has come into my pathway, and I don't know him from Adam. I have no clue who he is, but I believe God wants me to go and speak to him." How glad he was he took that challenge and stepped outside the box, as it were, and stepped into this new experience for God and found that God did use him and could use him. What new thing does God want you to do that you haven't done before or others haven't done? And God said, "That's your spot. Move into this." How glad you'll be when you see how his will unfold in your life. That happened for Philip. There was gladness also in heaven, because the Bible tells us that the angels in heaven, they rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. And how they sang for joy that day, over that Ethiopian who repented and gave his life to Christ. We also are glad tonight because we have the story for us in print. We can read it. We can look back for 2,000 years and say, look what happened here. This is an amazing story. How God worked in these two lives, brought them together, and brought salvation to this life. This man from an African country, things were transformed. How wonderful it is. Wonderful history lesson. Yet we don't stop there. We're glad because it happened 2,000 years ago. But we're glad because this story actually is our story. It's my story. It's the same story for every single believer. How God brings someone to us. Brought someone into our life. And through that conversation, that event, our circumstance, God brought salvation to our lives. And so the story lives on. It's repeated over and over again. And today across the world is being repeated. And yet we're glad tonight for another reason. We're glad tonight because this story can be your story. Maybe tonight, looking back over your life, you can see how God's been dealing with you and speaking to you, challenging you. And it's your time and your opportunity to make your choice to accept Christ as your Savior. How that would make us glad. To see you coming, like this Ethiopian, embracing Christ as Savior and changing your direction in life. And you'll find that He will show you the path of life. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That is our prayer. That is our desire. That is our desire for all these folk who come to Northern Ireland, that they'll come to know the Savior. And yet, looking back over this past year and a half and thinking of many of these faces, I see people who have never heard the gospel before coming to faith in Christ. They've come from Africa, Brazil, Portugal, Guinea-Bissau, from Roman Catholic backgrounds, Augusto from a Muslim background, coming here, hearing the gospel, and within weeks, trust Christ as Savior. And yet I look out on churches in Northern Ireland, and people, young people, older folk, who listen to the gospel, who sing the gospel week by week, month by month, year by year, and their hearts close. How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you said, I'll leave it for another day? I'm glad I met Jules, though, in November, and spoke to him about the Lord. And the other day he said, I repeat it, my life today is for God. I'll probably die in a few months' time, but the time I have left is for God, not for me. The time that you have left is for whom? Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, you know our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel of Christ Jesus. We bless you that in Christ we have a Savior that pardons us and gives to us a new life and direction in life itself. Our Father, we thank thee for each person tonight who knows that friend we have in Jesus. We thank you for those folk who have seen in these slides who have found Christ here in Northern Ireland. Yet our hearts go out to so many in this meeting who know the gospel but don't know Christ. But Lord, they're known of you. We pray for them tonight that, Lord, they would accept the invitation from high heaven and give themselves to Christ Jesus. If you feel challenged tonight about what you've heard and seen, my invitation to you is to accept the Savior. If we can help you in any way, come to us, speak to someone tonight, express that desire. We'll only be here to help you, to encourage you in your new faith. But don't leave tonight without trusting Christ. And child of God, as you leave here, I invite you to say, Lord, here's my life. Use me. Make me an instrument of your love. Father, we pray for each child of God. Lord, such an opportunity we have in life to serve you. We thank you for each young person and all the potentials here tonight for good. We pray, Lord, that none will be lost. We pray, Lord, that you'll use each life, channel us into your will. Help us, Lord, to have a vision for what God can do. Get our eyes off the temporal, material things of this world. And, Lord, focus us on those things that are eternal, that have eternal significance. We thank you, Lord, for thy presence tonight. Speak on to our hearts. Help us to make the decisions that are right. Help us, Lord, to choose those options that will glorify God. Help us, Lord, to get right with God and walk with God and please God. Amen.